You're good to go. Okay. I welcome you. It's April 10th to the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. And first up, we'll have a public hearing on House Bill 3494. Robin, could you please read the bill?
Certainly, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3494 prohibits landlords from requiring tenants to declare or devocalize animals as a condition of application for residency or residency. There is a dash one amendment that replaces the bill, prohibits devocalization and or declawing of cats and dogs, except under prescribed circumstances.
Representative Barton.
Thank you, Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. For the record, I am Brent Barton. I represent House District 40, and I really appreciate the overwhelming crowd that we have here today.
Diehards.
So the committee will recall this bill, or comparable bill, that came before this committee previously. The purpose of that bill was it was modeled on a California bill that would essentially ban landlords from conditioning tenancy in rental units on debarking or declawing an animal. Again, the idea came from California. And as you guys will understand, sometimes when you pass a bill, getting some industry opposition is common. And there's an instinctive pushback. When you get opposition, you say, no, in this case, the landlords essentially opposed this bill, and they came to me, and I'm going to paraphrase. It went something like this. Hey, Barton, we don't really have a beef with what you're trying to do, but why pick on us? Why not try and ban the practice altogether to the extent this is a bad practice, which we agree with? And, of course, my immediate reaction, I'm like, no, you're just trying to torpedo my bill. And then I'm like, actually, wait a minute, why didn't I do that? They're absolutely right. And it was a failure of imagination on my part. So the dash one amendments that you have before you, I have to admit, was the idea of the Landlord-Tenant Coalition. And they're absolutely right. This is not really a tenancy problem. This is not a housing problem. This is a larger problem. And the purpose of the dash one amendments is quite simple. It is to end the unnecessary and elective practice of debarking and declawing dogs and cats. It is not an outright ban. There is, for example, there are times when this is might be a medically necessary or advisable procedure, and that is left to the discretion of the veterinarian, as it should be. But if there are health reasons for the animal or for a human being, why, for example, a cat should be declawed, so be it. Hopefully this bill at least is intended to create, to give the necessary flexibility. However, if it is simply we're having a disfiguring procedure that affects the health and well-being of a cat just for purposes of your couch, that's not okay. That is not favored. And this bill, actually, the amendments were modeled on regulations isn't the right word, but I believe model practices by the American Veterinary Association. And I also want to particularly thank them. We love our vets. Vets care about animals even more than we do. And they really have been great partners to work with. I wanted to make sure that they didn't feel like we were trying to essentially meddle in their practice area, tell them how to practice veterinary medicine. Hopefully this bill, by modeling it on their model practices, which they provided, hopefully gives that necessary flexibility. But they really have been good partners to work with, and we want to be very clear that it is not my intent, and I think the intent of this committee, to try and interfere with their practice. Having said that, I think there's some others. Thank you for fitting me in first and for hearing this and for waiting around on a Friday at 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Mueller.
I can't believe I'm the one asking the question.
That's good, because you're leaving soon.
Yeah,
so
it's actually very interesting. So thank you, Chair. Representative Barton, are there any other states that have such exclusions right now?
Chair Kenny Geyer and Representative Bueller, I remember I talked about this last time. I believe there are three states that have outright banned the practice of debarking. That is, I believe Oregon would be the fourth state, that provision of the bill. Part of it is, as to the decline aspect, I believe Oregon will be the first state in the union to do that.
Okay. Any other questions for Representative Barton? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, and next up is George Okulich. Or Okulich. Let's see how you say it.
Okulich.
Okulich.
Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee, for the record, my name is George Okulich, here today on behalf of the Oregon Humane Society. Established in 1868, the Oregon Humane Society is the state's largest and oldest animal welfare agency. We represent about 50,000 supporters statewide, and we have no affiliation with any other local humane society or national humane society. We're here today to ask for your support of House Bill 3494, and I do appreciate Representative Barton taking the time to work on the previous bill, understanding the difficulties we ran into, and deciding to come back, work with all the various parties, veterinarians, us, other groups, to try to come forward with what we believe is to be a very good bill and sets a very important precedent. We know that barking is a normal behavior for dogs. They bark to communicate, you know, and so excessive barking can be minimized by proper training, stimulation, companionship, and environmental modification. We know that scratching is a normal behavior for cats. They scratch to mark their territory, to stretch, to maintain the health of their claws. And so we understand this bill does simply look at what the American Veterinary and Medical Association advises. And I can quote directly from their website that debarking surgery should only be performed by qualified licensed veterinarians as a final alternative to euthanasia after behavioral modifications to correct excessive vocalization have failed. Similarly, the AVMA states that the decision to declaw a cat should be made only after an owner consults with their veterinarian. Decline of domestic cats should be considered only after attempts have been made to prevent the cat from using its claws destructively or when its claws presents an above normal health risk to its owner. We believe the bill, or I should say the Dash 1 Amendment, does just that. It's a good bill, and we hope you will support it.
Yes, what does that mean?
Okay. I always have to ask a question. Chair Kenny Geyer, thank you. So there's a lot of reference here that the veterinarian has to be the one providing the service. Is that a problem currently? I mean, are non-licensed veterinarians declawing cats in the state of Oregon?
Chair Kenny Geyer, Representative Hayden, I do not have an answer to your question. I would have maybe somebody in the room.
Because we get that in the medical field sometimes, and then the medical board say, well, they're not licensed, so we don't have to regulate them. I'm wondering if there's entities out there providing declawing services that aren't licensed veterinarians. And then the other question here, it talks about if the cat has, where did it go, a destructive, if it's being destructive. But then, Representative, you mentioned that it wouldn't be for reasons of one of the reasons is that it attempts to prevent the animal from destructively using its claws having failed. So if the treatment fails to keep them from scratching the couch, then they can do it? Am I tracking that correctly?
Chair Kenny Geyer, thank you for letting me come back.
Yeah.
For the record, Brent Barton of House District 40. Representative Hayden, thank you for the question. You are correct in your reading of the bill, which is broader and more flexible for both the owner of the pet and the veterinarian than perhaps my testimony suggested. That is what my testimony suggested, perhaps reflects what I would like to do. However, I try to conform strictly to the model practices. And so thank you for catching that discrepancy. Okay. You're correct.
Okay.
One other question, if I may, regarding the veterinarian. That issue, I'm not aware of that as an issue. That was not something I intended to do. I believe Mr. Barrow is representing the veterinarians. I think he may well be prepared to testify. I'm not sure. But
nope.
Perhaps he knows, and if he doesn't, maybe I'll look around. But that was not an intended aspect of this.
Okay, just follow up. Thank you. I wasn't suggesting that's a bad idea. It just seemed so prominent in there. I was asking, is there non-licensed personnel performing these procedures that I'm not aware of?
Chair Kenny Geyer and Representative Hayden, not that I've heard of.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So no questions on any other kind of amendments. This is kind of ready to go. We've got something in from Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. George, I'm hoping you'll submit your testimony for the record. There's no opposition to it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam
Chair.
No
other questions? And
thank you.
Tom Bears is not going to testify, right? No need? I will then close the hearing. Yes.
I'm sorry. I neglected to sign into the on the sheet. Can I go ahead and
come on? Yes.
Thank you.
Did he sign his name over there?
Just add him to the sheet.
Oh, okay. I apologize for the oversight. For the record, Scott Beckstead, Senior Oregon Director and Western Regional Director for the Humane Society of the United States. We are the nation's largest animal protection organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., here in strong support of the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3494 for the reasons that have already been stated by the representative and Mr. Okulich, and we certainly would support the bill and urge a yes vote on it. These are very extreme procedures and should be undertaken only under the most extreme circumstances, and that's what this bill does. So we would urge a yes vote, and thank you.
Fantastic. And did you want to say anything else to Representative Havens?
Well, I would just say I with respect, Representative Hayden, to your question on veterinarians being required to be the ones to perform the procedure, As the representative said, I've certainly not heard of non-veterinarians performing the procedure, but I certainly think that it's important to make sure in the statute that we are being very clear that, especially given the extreme nature of these procedures, that they are being done by licensed veterinarians.
Follow up. So in that case, you would actually have to have in the statute that the veterinarian board would have civil penalties against non-licensed personnel providing that service if you found one. Because I don't think the veterinarian board currently would do that because it's not one of their licensees.
Chair Kinney,
getting way too deep in the
No, that's okay. Chair Kinney Geyer and Representative Hayden, the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examiners Board has the authority to license veterinarians and then investigate, violations of its regulations, one of those being the non-licensed practice of veterinary medicine. Mm-hmm. So I would assume that they would have the authority to take action in those cases.
Okay. We'll let it go. I think my read on that's a little bit different. I'm certainly supportive of a veterinarian doing it. I think if the veterinarian board is dealing with a previous licensee who has lost their license, then they would. But if it's just somebody they hear down the street doing it, I don't think that they step in. But they leave that up to the criminal justice process. So, okay.
And you're right that we didn't add any fees or anything in particular.
Right. So,
but anyway. I think it's a strong statement. I think this is a very strong statement at the very least. Yep. And if you would like to consider it going further, please let us know very quickly, because we intend to have a work session soon, before April 20th. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will now close the hearing on House Bill 3494 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3323. Patrick Henry, Chris Fick, could you please come up while Robin reads the bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3323 allows Type B area agencies to bring civil suit for physical or financial abuse of elders or persons with disability in prescribed geographic areas, declares emergency effective on passage. There is a Dash 1 amendment that allows attorney for Type B area agency to take action in a case of failure to reply to investigative demand.
Good afternoon, Representative Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee. My name is Pat Henry, for the record. I work with the Multnomah County Attorney's Office. My title is Assistant Multnomah County Attorney. My clients include the County Department of Human Services, and part of that department is the Adult Protective Services Unit. In the purpose of the bill that is before the committee is to expand the authority of the Type B agency, which Multnomah County is, and it applies to Multnomah County, expands their authority to be able to seek civil penalties against individuals who commit either financial exploitation mm-hmm. or physical abuse of an elderly person. Mm-hmm. Under the law currently, the authority to seek civil penalties is limited to District Attorney's Office, the Department of Human Services, and the Department of Justice. In Multnomah County, the county itself conducts the Adult Protective Services investigation, so this would tie very nicely to the function that the county is already performing. And like those other agencies, a key interest and goal of Multnomah County is to have as many tools as we can to combat the abuse and exploitation of elderly people, and feel as if this would be a very strong new tool that we'd be able to use to help protect and support vulnerable people and senior citizens in Multnomah County. So I'm here today to request your support for this bill.
Chair Kenninger, other members of the committee, for the record, Chris Fick with Multnomah County's Office of Government Relations. Just want to be mindful of the fact that we testified last week for a Multnomah County-only bill, and this one is as well. I want to assure this committee that we did offer to extend this authority to other area agencies on aging. They had concerns about their capacity and being inundated with requests from seniors to help civilly prosecute their claims. So as a result, we made this Multnomah County-only bill. But it's our hope to report back not only to the legislature, but also to those area agencies on aging about the caseload, the workload, and our success so that others can take advantage of this increased authority if they see fit.
That's great. That answered my question.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone else have any questions on this? Okay. You are released.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to close the public hearing on 3323. We are going to have a really big session. All of the next few sessions, work sessions, are going to need to go really tightly. I encourage you to get here right on time. We're going to try to zip through them. Anything that we don't pass in the next few by April 20th dies. So look forward to seeing you all here. Get a good rest over the weekend. We'll start with, among other things, all the tax credits.
Take your vitamins.
Monday. Yeah, take your vitamins. So thank you, and check your email over the weekend because I'm going to try to give you a heads up on the tax credit.
Great.
In case you have any questions. All right. With that, I close the House Committee on Human Services and Housing.
It's a record. Housing.